Today's scripture reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lisa. Well, as is no warranty. Those are some of the scariest words anybody could ever hear. Many years ago, I was at one of my first appointments, and I decided that I needed a four-wheel drive. You see, I was young, and well, let's just say not as smart as I am today. I had a Dodge Challenger. It was this real souped-up muscle car. I still miss it. It had a Hemi in it. It had a 0-60 timer built in, factory. But being a pastor in a small town away from the city meant that I had to go a lot on the back roads and rural blacktops. And you know, it just really didn't suit all the drives that I was going on. And sometimes I wondered if I was going to make it through the winter. Well, getting rid of the Challenger was just not acceptable. So I started in looking for a second beater car, and I ended up with this Jeep. It was a four-wheel drive. I found one in a used car lot that was in a nearby town, and it was a 96 Jeep Grand Cherokee with a very cheap price. It was 10 years ago, you know, so the price, you know, was good. And you know where I'm going with this. It had a used car sticker on it with a great big X against right next to "as is, no warranty." I took the thing for a spin. There were no problems. Ran the Carfax. It all looked fine. Signed the papers and drove it home. I was feeling pretty proud of myself for finding such a deal. And the next Sunday, I took the Jeep to the first church of the morning, which was about 20 miles away. On my way back to the home between church services, something went wrong. It started to smell hot. And luckily, I made it back, but it wasn't pretty. There was oil leaking onto the pavement, and it splattered all over on the inside of it. Again, the big black X that said, "as is, no warranty," was flashing in my head. You can imagine I wasn't happy. I wondered what else could go wrong in that Jeep that I bought as is. I feared maybe I had bought a lemon, that I wasted my money, that something needed a major repair. Well, I called the dealership, and I was lucky enough that they made a big exception, that they fixed it since it went wrong so quickly after that. And I credit that friendly dealership who towed it in, made the repair, and luckily I didn't have any more problems for the few years that I owned the thing. Today we're talking about things that are broken in our lives. I don't know if anything comes to mind. The gospel of Jesus and his power over death assures us that, well, that fixes to these things in our lives are possible, and that the heartaches that we experience in our lives are not the end of the story. Well, it wasn't an older car that lost its life in our scripture this morning. The author of the book of Acts, which Luke tells us, or which tradition tells us is Luke, tells the story of this beloved pillar in the community who had lost her life. The disciple's name was Tabitha, and she lived in this Palestinian town called Joppa, right along the Mediterranean Sea. Luke tells us that Tabitha had been devoted to good works and of charity. And when she died, those who cared for her, they prepared her body, and they put her in an upper room, and they surrounded her with love even after death. Peter was staying in the nearby town of Lydia, and his disciples, hearing that he was there, told him, sent a message to him saying, "Hurry, come without delay." Every time I hear "no delay," I think of In-N-Out. If you've ever been to In-N-Out Burgers, that's their slogan, "no delay." We're told that Peter did just that. Peter arrived at the house where Tabitha's body was, and he saw a scene of great despair and sadness. They took Peter to the upstairs room where the widows had gathered around Tabitha's body, and it was a scene of just despair. They were crying, and they were reminiscing about the things that Tabitha had made and did when she was alive. If you ever lost someone and you go and you begin to see the things that they made, and everybody comes together in that home, apparently this Tabitha was some woman they were grieving over. Luke tells us that Peter sent everybody outside, and he knelt down to pray at Tabitha's side. And then he turned to the body and he said, "Tabitha, get up." And she opened her eyes. And seeing Peter, she sat up. And Peter gave her his hand and helped her up. And then he called inside all of the grieving friends and family. Tabitha was alive. Luke tells us that this miracle became known throughout the town. Many believed in Jesus because of it. No doubt many of us have experienced a scene like this, except for the coming back to life. A pillar of the community, a true disciple, someone that we cannot fathom living life without, someone that would be done so much for the community and the world in which she lived would be greatly missed. And even not in death, there are other times where it just seems like we mourn other things. We grieve so many things in our lives that, well, we wonder, will it come back? Or sometimes we know that it won't. The times that we together, you know, think of all the lives and the mourning of losses that are of those who are dear to us. We all have seen our share of mourning and death and sickness and tragedy with cancer has affected everyone in this room in some different degree. All of us have seen death and mourning and sadness and we've grieved the loss of our health in various different ways. And so I think we can resonate a bit with this scripture today, the pain and the heartache of it all. We've cherished the treasures of the saints who've gone before us, and we too cry out to doctors and pastors and to God to come quickly and without delay. But here's where the story takes a twist that nobody would have expected. Peter came, he said a prayer, and lo and behold, Tabitha got up, and, well, we're left to think that everybody lived happily ever after. You know, it's these kinds of stories in Scripture that really throw me for a loop, and I think all of us Christians. I mean, I've experienced death and mourning. We've experienced loss of health and tragedy in our lives. All of us have. But seeing the dead raised is really not something that we really expect. You know, we've never seen or expect to see, except we hear about it in the last part of the Gospels with Jesus. When I hear these stories, my mind begins to wonder all sorts of things. How did it happen? Why don't we see this kind of thing happen today? Is it because my faith isn't as strong as the widows and Peter's in our scripture today? What if maybe Tabitha wasn't dead, but, you know, in the absence of medical technology, maybe she appeared as such? But I also don't want to lose the focus of what this scripture is all about. You know, we can focus on all the technicalities, but you see, our scripture isn't meant to promise that the death come back to life or that all of our ailments and sicknesses in life will always be healed or that all of our, you know, relationships and friendships will be restored, all those things. It doesn't tell me how much or why Tabitha died, except that we know that she was a beloved pillar in the community. Today's passage doesn't really tell us much of all about Tabitha, except she died. But it does tell us a lot. It focuses on the group of people who came together in a time of grief and despair that was hard for everybody involved, for their loved one that had passed. It tells us that as they were weeping and as they stood beside her body, they talked to each other about the things that she did and said while she was among them. It tells us that they called out quickly to Peter to come in their hour of need without delay. You see, the focus in our story seems to balance Peter's role in the healing with the group of widows, common folks, friends, loved ones, and family who came together and prayed and celebrated Tabitha's wife and life and wept by her body. And this story isn't just about death. It's about life. It's about coming together. It's about how we find life in one another, and as we come together to build one another up and support each other and give each other strength, we feel it. I felt it in my own cancer journey, but this isn't also just about cancer. I know all of you think of those difficult times that you had in your life, and you know, sometimes God works these miracles on his own, but gosh, think of all the people that build you up and support you and that you can lean on and just give you strength. I believe that this is God working through hands and minds and other of so many people, our loved ones, of doctors, nurses, of caregivers of all different types. You see, I don't know the hows and whys of Tabitha's drastic healing. But what I can say for sure is that the community that came together to pick up the pieces in this tragedy had a big role in the healing that had happened. But you and I know that there's healing when families come together, when we fight these things, these battles in our lives. When it's not only in times of grief and sorrow, but when we grieve the loss of our health or the health of our loved ones or the health of you know, or just when we grieve all the losses in our lives. There's healing when those of us who are left behind gather and look through and rummage through the treasures of our loved ones who have passed. We've seen healing when we send out prayer concerns and we know that the whole congregation is praying. Healing happens. Healing happens in body, mind, and spirit. Healing comes as churches from different denominations gather together for special services. Our scripture today tells us that there's healing when we come together, when we support one another, when life seems to be shattered, when we care for the dying, when we rescue the perishing, when we seek those who are all around us who are going through difficult times and whatever it may be, and when we all call out, Lord, come without delay. Yes, our lesson leaves us with a lot of questions. But one thing that is very clear and loud to me is that when two or more are gathered, Christ is among us and there's healing. And when we come together as supporters for those, whether it's cancer concerns or anything that's going on in our life, when we come together and when we reminisce together, when we support one another, when we laugh together, when we pray together, when we grieve, when we heal together, when we spend time with our families and our loved ones every day, we experience healing and wholeness and life. And where two or more are gathered, therein is the risen Christ. Oh, we bring a lot of concerns today, not just for cancer, but for all the other things in our lives that are worrying us so. And part of these things, really, I think part of these things remind us, they bring grief to the surface. And really, the lesson about Tabitha and her healing was really first about grief. They were grieving the loss of her health. They were grieving the loss of someone that they loved. There are so many ways that grief takes its form, and grief is not just in the form of tears. Grief may sometimes feel like depression, or you feel blah, or you don't have a lot of motivation. Sometimes grief affects our mood and our eating or our sleeping habits. These are normal losses, normal responses to the loss that you're facing. And so I encourage you that whatever pieces that you are in this morning, to make sure that you lean on and talk to your friends and your family. Try to establish a daily schedule for yourself and make sure that you reach out to professionals if you need it. Of course, you know, since this is my area as well, studies have proven that strong faith and faith practices benefit our physical and our mental well-being. To keep that ritual of faith, even as we're looking and seeking. Because in my experience, it's not the bright days that exercise your faith. It's the darkest hours. Because that's when you're really seeking and wondering and scavenging around to find Christ. And it surprises you. God reaches out to us not only with his hand, but in the hands and in the minds and in the feet of others. Faith in God and in Jesus, who's been risen from the dead, assures us that we will get through this. I remember in times in my own cancer awareness, when I'm in my own cancer battle, something that I would often say is, this is not okay, but it will be okay. And I still often will say that today. Through the power of the resurrection, this is not okay, but it will be okay. Our scripture, like many, many others, assures us that whatever we are going through, that God is with us, with hands of healing, with a heart of love, showing us wisdom and glory, often through those who we lean on and support in our time of need. You see, Easter, this is still the Easter season, is precisely for times like this. Remember the Easter story on that Easter morning? It was not all joyous singing Christ the Lord is risen today. In fact, they were afraid. It was in the depths of their despair, and it was in that they began to look, and little by little they found the presence of the risen Christ there among them, little by little, moment by moment, in the days and hours and weeks ahead. Jesus didn't die and rise from the dead for the best of times. Jesus died and rose again for times like this, in the wilderness, when we find our lives shattered to a various degree, for the isolated, for the lonely, the sick, the dying, for times where we are battling, for the places that we find life in our struggles, for the times of grief and sadness. You see, Jesus went through everything that we are dealing with right now, but he rose. And it assures us that with God's help, whatever we are facing in our lives today, we will overcome, and that we could even find ourselves better for this on the other side. And we have hope, that Easter hope. Well, as a child, after supper, I would often crawl on my dad's hairy legs after supper, and yeah, we have to put a blanket over it because it itched so much. We had a book of nursery rhymes, and there was one of them you probably remember. It goes, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. I remember being troubled by this nursery rhyme. I mean, it didn't have the positive ending that the other fairy tales had. There was no happy ever after. It was like he was left shattered on the ground, or she, I don't know. I wondered, you know, why couldn't all the king's horses and all the king's men put Humpty together again? There was a whole army of people. Was he broken in too many pieces? Was there not enough horses or men to put them together again? Was Lowe's closed at the time? Should they have asked the women for help? Did they run out of glue? We'll never know. We'll just never know. It just stopped right there. And as a kid, I felt disappointed that there wasn't some sort of resolve. You know, I got to thinking this week that Luke, who wrote Acts, if Luke had written Humpty Dumpty, you better believe it would have had a better ending. Luke would have all the king's horses and all the king's men and probably their wives too, and they would have put Humpty together again. They wouldn't have just given up and left all the pieces scattered about off of the wall. They would have gathered together. They probably would have cried. They would have laughed a little bit as they put them together, and they would have worked together until Humpty was back together again. Well, like our scripture shows us, we live in a broken world, and this world is not the way that God intended it to be. It was perfect once, and then sin entered the world, and we just feel the consequences of it. One day it will be perfect. But we do see perfectly wonderful glimpses of heaven periodically. But our world is very much broken, and we experience the pain of it. We are experiencing the pain of it in our lives. Like our scripture says, you know, in this broken world, yet in their day and in ours, in Tabitha's day as it is in ours, people suffer horrible sicknesses, terrible battles. Cancer is awful, and unjust deaths, and people experience brokenness, things that are just unfair and unjust in our lives. And even though the names are different, there are plagues that still hit us. There's plagues called COVID-19 and AIDS and HIV and AIDS, plagues that we call hunger and thirst. Today we remember the effect that just of cancer, the treatments upon not only us, but upon others. And cancer isn't just sometimes painful. It's a psychological thing too, because you're always wondering when you go to your next scan, what are they going to find? What's going to be next? And that lasts the rest of your life. Cancer is very much, I believe, psychological and mental as it is physical. There are plagues in this land and brokenness that I call addiction and individualism and greed, just to name a few. It's in this broken world that many of us, there are too many people that live like Humpty Dumpty, broken and scattered and even worse, left in their pieces by a world that's too busy, by a world that's too individualistic to come to their aid. Luke tells us that it's in this daunting, broken world that Christians come together in the name of Jesus, and because of the resurrection, we find healing, if not physical, also in our in spiritual and our emotions and in our hearts. People may not rise from the dead like they did for Tabitha, but you and I can rise from the death of addictions and stress, from death of loved ones, from the whatever pieces that you may find yourself in today. Luke would have us believe that healing happens when we come together, when we reach out to those who are experiencing the difficult times. And John and Kim, you know that you are surrounded by an army of people who love you so much. And anyone else that is going through cancer treatments and trials, this is how healing happens. And we often find healing in our own lives when other people lean upon us. We even find healing for our own lives too in various ways. Healing and life can come from Jesus Christ through the power of the resurrection, and it happens in the midst of church communities and in close-knit families and close-knit communities, just like us here, unlike Humpty Dumpty. So where's your brokenness today? Where's your scatteredness? I think a lot of us in different ways can feel like Humpty Dumpty. Probably those, whether you're here or watching today, but where are you broken and in pieces? Where are you needing help being put back together again? Where can you celebrate right now? How can we celebrate all of those who are holding us together? Things may be falling out but people are holding us together. There's barely enough tape, but we've got people holding us together. Thanks be to God for all those people that we are leaning on. Thanks be to God for all the people who are building us up. Thanks be to God that God is with us in the midst of this. Because like Easter people, this means we don't share the same fate as Humpty Dumpty did. Or like the 1996 Jeep Grand Cherokee, as is no warranty. Our lives can be repaired. There can be healing in our lives in so many different ways. We seek it, and through Christ and through others, we find it. For those who are hurting, may their hearts be mended. For the lonely, may they find company and support. And so in this day of Easter, we celebrate the power of Christ's resurrection, and we long for the day when there will be no more Humpty Dumpties. But until that day comes, we celebrate all the people that when we feel like Humpty Dumpty, or when others around us feel like Humpty Dumpty and need to be put back together again, God works through that. God works through others. God works through us. And I thank God for it. And so those of you who are here today supporting those in your lives with facing cancer, John and Kim especially, but everyone else, we all have people that we're supporting and people are leaning on us. Take that as a sacred calling. God is working through us and with us and among us for healing. And we see glimpses of heaven, and we long for the day when heaven will come on earth completely. Let's pray. Loving God, there are so many ways that we feel like Humpty Dumpty. We feel scattered and in pieces. Or Lord, we remember the times that we felt that way and you sent people to put us back together again. Lord, where we feel in pieces, bring us people to hold us together. Bind us together, Lord. We trust in you that through you and with you there is healing in our lives, healing in others, and the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.